There's been a lot going on this week. A lot of things changed this week. You know, we talked about the first couple of weeks we did this message, or actually a couple of weeks ago, we kind of changed the message a little bit. We kind of talked about, according to the Gallup poll, there's these 10 crazy fears. We talked about the top five. I want to talk about 6 through 10. They say number 10 is water, as in swimming and drowning. Now listen, I know some people are afraid of water, but don't be afraid to take a shower. And number 9 is storms. We live back in Arkansas, and they had these tornadoes. How many's been in a tornado before? Okay, tornadoes are kind of scary. I remember the first couple years back there, a tornado's going by, and we're all crouched down. We're hiding in the hallway, and we're all afraid. But on the third year, I'm outside looking for the tornadoes. Where are they at? It's kind of weird how that happens, right? Number 8 is public transportation. I know right now there's a lot of people afraid of public transportation. I'm not afraid of germs. I'm afraid of the drivers. But there's some real fear. Let me just, in the middle of this, I want to stop just for a second. I want to say this, that we catch us and understand this. There's a lot of people that have real fears right now. And we don't want to belittle them to make them walk in also anxiety. Amen. I know we all have ideas and thoughts behind this, but I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is Lord of all things. Let's give him a big hand. That's good. He's in control of all things. Number 7 is crowds. Some people are afraid of crowds. Number 6. Tunnels and bridges. I had a friend of mine, every time he'd drive across a bridge, if he's praying, he would close his eyes. I don't want to ride with him. The other thing is, we were back in Arkansas on another trip. I was taking a bunch of students for going up to Joplin, and we're getting ready to do a mission trip overseas, and a tornado, they're all around us, there's storms going on, and we parked underneath this bridge, and we're under there, and we thought we're safe. A little bit later, we found out that underneath the bridge is a bad place to be because of what tornadoes can do. It's kind of scary. But one of the things is the phobia, the fear of fear. How many knows that there's the fear of fear? My daddy used to say, son, I'm going to put the fear of God in you. Took a while, but it finally happened. I used to say that, we had such hard heads, he'd hit us in the head, or if we got a spanking on the bottom, for some reason there was something cut off between there, never made it up to the top. We couldn't figure it out. We kept doing dumb things. How many's ever done dumb things? Let me just real quick before we get into this message, I'm going to give you some fear killers. How many wants to kill fear? How many knows the Bible says laughter does good? Like a medicine. It's okay to laugh. We laugh all the time. We do crazy things and we laugh. How many knows that faith is a fear killer? I love that. I love that faith has a way of killing that. Trusting God through relationships. You know, when we start hanging out with God, we start realizing some amazing things happen. I was talking to a friend this week, and we were talking about the rush on toilet paper. Now, first there was a rush on toilet paper and water. It wasn't a rush on food yet. And I thought, does it make sense? Because if you run out of food, you won't need the toilet paper. Little goes in, little comes out. So we're gonna kind of start a new series. So we're calling it ER. In America, we need the ER today. We do. Marshall blew it for me, already put it up. We need the ER room. So what we're calling is Easter and revival. How many knows what Easter's about? Jesus Christ arising from the grave, giving us the opportunity to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the one that's got power over every little virus. Amen? So it's Easter and then it's revival. We need revival in America. How many? I'm going to ask everybody to raise your hands. I know some of you have the phobia of raising your hands. But I want to ask, and I want you to raise your hand just for a minute, because I want everybody to see. How many believes that we need a revival today? Raise your hand up real high. Okay, hold them up for a second. I want everybody to look around. Hands everywhere. We need, you can put your hands back down. We need a revival today here in America. So I'm going to give you kind of the overarching thought behind the series that we're going to do for just a little bit. Move of God takes power. Yes, what a handsome guy. A move of God takes power from above. But not only does it take power from above, see, God does his part, but we are required to do our part. Say that with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Our part. We're going to do it again. One, two, three. Our part. So there's his part, and then there's our part. We can say all day long, God, I want you to revival. I want you to. If we just sit there and we never do nothing, it's probably not going to happen. God has given us opportunity. Right now when this is going on, how many knows the church has an opportunity right now? We always shine the lightest and the brightest in the darkness. Amen. And there's a lot of people afraid. Amen. So we're going to be kind of sharing those things. So check this thought out too. We're not going to pray for what we don't pay for. That's good preaching. I want to say that again. We're not going to pray for what we don't pay for. How many knows everything cost? How many know Easter cost Jesus everything? He gave everything so that Easter could happen, right? Very important that we catch that everything cost a little bit. Some things cost a lot of bit. If you have children, you know. I want to get into this text. Let me do 1 John 4:18b because we've been doing this every week. So it says this, because fear. So we can say that someone doesn't have fear, but if they're walking in that fear, they're walking in torment. Fear and faith can't walk together, because fear is either going to push out faith or faith is going to push out fear. And I would much rather have my faith push away the fear. So I want to just for a minute, I want to talk to you about an incredible story in the Bible. It's found in John 12, 1 through 7. So we're going to be reading this. So it's up on the screen. Can we read it together? And then I'm going to pause and explain stuff. So you're going to have to be alert and following. If you have your note page, it was coming in your bulletin. You can take notes. It says this on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. 6 days before the Passover celebration began. Hold on for a minute. The Passover. What Passover? The Passover, what happened in this Passover? Jesus gave his life this Passover, right? So he's getting ready to be crucified. So Jesus arrived in Bethany. We're going to read it again. 1, 2, 3. Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. Stop for a minute. So this wasn't just anybody. This is Lazarus who was raised from the dead. So their home of Lazarus. Why is Lazarus opening up his home? Something amazing. He was raised. How would you like it? Man, this is Joey, the guy that got raised from the dead. Bring that one on. That'll preach in the grocery store while people are waiting for toilet paper. Long lines are a great place to witness, right? Go figure. So Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man raised from the dead. So we read this story. What an incredible story. This guy was raised. I don't know. I have not seen anybody raised from the dead yet. I've seen people that were spiritually dead. If you're spiritually dead, there's hope. God wants to waken you up, right? So a dinner was prepared in. So there's a dinner being prepared, and it's in the honor of Jesus, right? Because two things. Jesus was popular. You're raising people from the dead. You're getting popular. I tell you what, if I pray for someone that was dead this morning and they arose, I tell you what, everybody know my name. And my name's not important. Jesus' name is important. Amen? So a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served. And Lazarus was among those who just sat and soaked in being in Jesus' presence. Can you imagine if Jesus came by? Oh, he already has this morning. When two or three are gathered in his midst, There he is. So every time that we come in and we're hanging out together, Jesus is right here in our midst. So we can worship like wild people. We can honor God. We can just close our eyes and we can say, God, man, I'm asking you to flood this place. Man, I've had a lot of fear this week. My mind is kind of here, there, and yonder, and I'm just going to wait on you, God. I'm going to hang out with you because when you're in the presence, everything's okay. Right? Did you know that scripture said that much? Let's go on. This Mary took a 12-ounce jar of cheap perfume. I have never had expensive perfume. Some of it smelled expensive to me. Anyway, made from the essence of nard. I love that. It's nard. What's nard? From the essence of nard. Yeah. And then she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the, let me say something. When Jesus is in the midst, there's a fragrance in the air. You know, I love those times when you can just sense Christ. Now, let's be honest. There's times when Jesus is in the midst and we don't sense him. You know why? Because we're not tuned to him. Amen? Let's be honest again. There's sometimes we're all human. We come here sometimes and sometimes we're tired. I've been there before. Sometimes you just, God, I want you to move. And it's just kind of like, but you know what, though? When we just begin to push through, push in, because anytime Jesus is around, his presence is there, right? The house is filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. Let me say, you're going to do something incredible for the kingdom of God, and someone's going to bang you for it. This is going to give you a hard time. Oh, I can't believe you wasted your money on that. I can't believe that you tithe. Let me tell you, you cannot give God. You give and God gives back. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. Amen. So the house is filled with fragrance. Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said the perfume was worth a year's wages. Now, I want you to catch something, and I want you to remember this for a minute. The perfume was worth what? A year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. See, that's what the enemy's going to do. Anytime you do anything for God, the enemy's going to come back and say, yeah, you're wasting whatever you're doing. You're wasting your time. Tell you, when you volunteer for the children back there, you're never wasting your time. Right, Jordan? Never wasting time. Now, here's the last one. Go to the next one down. Not that he cared for the poor. He was a... And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he also stole some for himself. I want to stop there for a minute. I heard this story about these three ministers that went out on a boat ride together. And one was a Catholic, one was a Presbyterian, one was a Pentecostal guy. And they're all out there on the boat. And this one guy said, hey, why don't we all share something deep about ourselves? And that way we'll have better, you know, let's confess something to each other. And then we can, you know, have better communion with one another. The one guy says, the Catholic guy says, yeah, I gotta admit, I get drunk all the time. Then the Presbyterian said, I have to admit that I'm often robbing from the offerings. The Pentecostal guy didn't say nothing. They get closer to shore. He jumps out of the boat and he says, my problem is, I like to gossip, and I can't wait to share this with everybody. So here's point one. Let's put the point one up there. She has done. She has done what she could. When you do what you can, God breathes on it and blesses it. Amen? It's what you can. We're going to look at this. Go to the next slide. I love this. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. Jesus, how many knows this? When someone dies, you usually don't have off. When we get called about a funeral, normally have about 3 days. And so you're planning for the funeral. Jesus had explained to everybody he was going to die, but they didn't really catch it. They didn't get it. And so some of them, Joseph of Arimathea and a few others, were going to go anoint the body. By the time they got to the grave, he was already risen. Sometimes we miss it, right? So she went ahead and anointed the body for burial ahead of time. I like that. She did what she could. Here at New Hope, we have some very extravagant givers. Thank you guys for that so much. You make it possible to do all the stuff that we do. When people get in the fight or flight mode, they really just need to see the love of God in action. When we get in that flight or fight mode, we need to see the love of God in action. So here's Lazarus. The Bible says, he who has been forgiven much loves much, but he who has a miracle done loves much. Can you imagine the love that Lazarus had for Jesus? How about mama? How many of you knows if your baby died and then Jesus raised him from the dead, you're telling everybody. Amen? We'll tell everybody because this crazy miracle happened, brought back to life. She's done what she could. Now, the second thing, she gave. She gave while she could. There's always a timing involved in everything. How many knows that? There's a timing involved in everything that we do. And sometimes if we wait too long, we miss the timing. I know some people, we want to do good and we want to help. We want to pay our tithes and we think, well, you know what? I'm going to wait till I get richer. You may not ever get richer. You might die. You might be thinking, you know what? My neighbor needs help, but I'm going to wait till I'm a little better able to help him. And you know what happens? You miss the moment. Mary, she thinks, I'm not missing the moment. She goes ahead and she breaks that jar of this great fragrance and pours it on her. Let me explain. This, the Bible says, we know because of Judas, this was worth a year's wage. Now, we know in state of California, the minimum wage is $12 an hour. So you figure that out, take out the holidays, that's worth $25,000. She gave what she could. And she knew there was a time. If she would have waited, the time to anoint Jesus' body would have been gone. She went ahead and did that. She went ahead and anointed Jesus' body because she knew it was going to be such a powerful thing. Scripture says this, John 9:4. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Timing. Timing is everything. We don't want to get trapped in that thought that, you know what, I'm going to wait, and then nothing happens. See, here's the thing. Jesus did not create you to hang on. Jesus made you to make a difference in the world. And I want to just bring this in right now. I don't know if, I'm going to ask you guys to do something. I'm going to ask you guys to stretch yourselves. Is that okay? How many wants to stretch? That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. That's always good too. Marvin's going, oh. Marvin, that's catchy. I had a thought yesterday morning. And I thought, we have an opportunity right now to be Jesus' hands and feet in such a way that it could be mind-boggling. And first I thought, you know, I texted the board and just kind of shared a little thought and was waiting for some things back and texted a couple other friends. And I thought, let me see where this goes. And then this morning I was thinking about that again. I thought, you know, we don't have time to just sit and wait around for something to happen. And so I thought this, I put a little blurb on Facebook. I thought if we all was to do something amazing, check this out right now. What do you see on Facebook? Empty shelves, people in long lines, someone selling toilet paper for $100 a roll. He was on a roll. What if we changed the narrative? What if the narrative looked a little bit like this? Man, I was hurting and things was rough on me, and I didn't have money for rent, and my Christian friend from New Hope paid my rent that month. What would happen if we knew someone that was out of toilet paper? In fact, someone read my blog this morning, and they brought some toilet paper. You can have a roll of toilet paper on the way out. It's free. We're not charging to buy the paper. It's free. We just asked, the person that gave it to us asked to take one at a time. So if you got like 36 cases of toilet paper, you could share some with your neighbor. You know, you could find out if your neighbor's hurting. You know what? I heard this last week. In fact, one of my neighbors just found out that working in the oil fields, had a really steady job and got laid off because of the oil price crunch too. And there's a lot going on. If we want to be the church, we have an opportunity. We have a lot of our older folks that are afraid to get out of the house. We can go get groceries for them. If we got someone that's laid off, that becomes a workforce. Amen? If you're in the place to, and you know someone that's not working, maybe you can hire them for $2 an hour. No, just kidding. But maybe you can do something to help them out and let the church shine. You know, it's always in the darkness that we shine the greatest. It's our time. We've got an opportunity right now, a time. We can miss this time. This might go on for a while. We don't know, but we have an opportunity. Amen? She did what she can. Maybe you can't do anything, but you can go by your neighbor and say, man, if there's anything I do, I want to pray for you because we care about you. Maybe they're gone. You go mow. It doesn't cost anything to mow a person's lawn. We did the Derby Acres Church, went out there yesterday, and a team went out, a lot of the Derby team, and if you've ever been out there, there's a lot of yard out there, a lot of weed eating. That was, and I was going to start cooking about 11:30, and I seen how far they were along. At 10:45, I started cooking. I thought, they're all going to leave before, they're just knocking it out, right? So what would happen if every time on Facebook we saw someone doing something amazing and posted it on Facebook? So no more people seeing toilet paper gone. People worried. I'm fretting this. I'm fretting that. But started just seeing random acts of kindness. Oh, how about 10,000 hits? People doing random acts. Wouldn't that be cool? Amazing. We're the church. We can rise up. Amen. We can do amazing things because we have Christ in us. So I'm not going to hoard all my toilet paper. I might share some. We don't really have a lot of toilet paper. We need a little bit more than what we got. That's just because somebody. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, that's a hole. I'm trying to get out of real fast. Here's the third thing. She received more than she gave. Listen, guys, you can't outgive God. You can't. When you begin to tithe, what's God bless at? You help your neighbors? What's God bless at? And there's nothing greater than when you do something for somebody, how good it feels inside. And I'm not talking just about our immediate family. I'm talking about people that may not know Jesus because you're going to open a whole new doorway for them. I want to find this scripture real fast. I found this a year ago, and I forgot. The first service didn't get this one. You guys are because you're special. Proverbs 18:16. Can you see that, Marsh? Proverbs 18:16. Okay, look at this. Giving a gift can open doors. One morning I was sitting down. It was about a year ago. We might have been on vacation. I don't know. And I read this text, and it popped out to me. It says, giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. Mary gives this expensive perfume. You know what? It opened one of the greatest doors ever opened, right to Jesus, right? We have that opportunity, though, to give a gift that can open doors to maybe our neighbors for Jesus Christ to come in. Amen? We might have an opportunity to do something, just a random act. Some of you guys know things about cars. Maybe someone's car's broken down, and you know, me, I'll just sit there and look at it. Mm. I got jumper cables. Is that hooked to the gas tank? Just kidding. But see, we can do things. We can come alive. The world is in a spin. And what would happen if all the news media is? Because everybody started doing this, and that's all that was on the news. This guy doing something great for this person. This person doing something. Wouldn't that be cool? We have an opportunity to be the church. Amen. So check out this story, and we're going to end with this. She received more than she gave. That perfume that was worth close to $25,000, whatever that was. She pours it on Jesus' feet. Then she did something. She wiped his feet with her hair. When you do something amazing for Jesus, there's a transfer that happens. When we become Jesus' hands and feet, there's a transfer that happens, and that glow goes with us. She wiped her hair to get the feet of Jesus, the oil off it, and then that fragrance went with her everywhere she went. When you do something for Jesus, there's a fragrance that goes with it. People think, wow, man, that's unusual. You know, the world gets really tripped out when you do something great for him. Amen? Random acts of kindness blows people's minds. That's right. It does. It's crazy. So I'm going to challenge you. I put this little blurb on Facebook. So I'm going to challenge you to go there and share it again. And let's just see how many people we can do. Get to doing random acts of kindness. Amen. The transfer. We're going to pray this morning. Team, come back. I'm not going to ask anybody to come down forward. I'm going to let you pray where you're at. But I know right now, in the midst of all of this that's going on, that God wants to send a revival to our hearts, minds, and souls. I don't know about you. I desire revival. But I know I just can't sit there and expect it to come. I've got to do something. I'm not going to tell you what that looks like for you, but we need to do something. We're the church, right? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Everything starts with relationship with Jesus. The whole idea of Easter. Easter is a time that Jesus gave his life so that all of us who accept him get to live in heaven forever. Jesus came with a purpose in mind to die for us. He gave everything. We also have an opportunity. So this morning, the first opportunity is for those that might need relationship with Jesus, that might need to be refreshed. I want to pray with you. I'm going to ask everybody in this church building to say this with me. Say, Jesus, thank you that you gave your life just for me. God, forgive me for my shortcomings, for when I've sinned against you. God, I want to confess you. I want to recommit to you. So God, I ask you, forgive me of my sins. Help me to follow you. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So guys, I want to challenge you. If you do a random act of kindness, take a little snapshot. I put this on this little blurb. I don't like honking my horn when I do something. But I think right now in this time, people need to see some good stuff. All we're blasted with is all of the garbage, the empty shells. And someone's telling me yesterday, a couple of people got in a fight at Albertson over toilet paper. I don't know if it happened, but I mean, it's just going crazy right now. So let's just do some random acts of kindness and bless people. Amen. If you gave your life to Christ and you want to keep going step after step after step, there's all kinds of Bible class we have. Come and catch me afterwards and we'll say bless you. I'm going to ask Trent. Trent, you might stand up and dismiss us in prayer.